Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Listening to Middays with Marcus Maben, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Also, Kentucky football returns to the gridiron this week as the Cats take on Auburn. And once again, ESPN Louisville is your place on game day for the latest breaking news. Be sure to tune in Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife pregame show on ESPN 680, 105.7.
Was that 10? Did you say 10?
10 a.m.
Okay, I don't want to miss that.
And directly following the game, join us for the official Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show around 3 p.m. We'll take your calls, texts, hear live from head coach Mark Stoops, player sound, and more.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome.
So,
well, speaking of other things that are awesome, let me say I am jealous. I am jealous that I'm not there today.
Finally.
That I won't be able to indulge in Which Wednesday. So thanks to Jason and his team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios.
Yes.
It's a Which Wednesday, so be sure to carry out or get delivery from the Hurstbourne Brownsboro Crossing location for lunch or dinner. Fall sports are back, so get your box lunches for your team, and your coaches will get their lunch for free. Head over to ESPN Louisville Facebook for a chance to win a home gating spread from Which for Saturday. Try ESPN Special. That's a large Which for just $6.80, only for call-in orders, which Superior Sandwiches.
Okay, there's going to be two conversations that I struggle with.
Okay.
But first, I have to get the air clear with one. I have to ask a question on air. And it's I'm going to totally put Jack on the spot. Now, Jack, I need you.
Oh, hell yeah.
I need you to. Okay, listen, people. Jack is going to say about three sentences. He's going to tell a short story about what he did yesterday, just about a 30-second story about what you did yesterday. And here's what I want: the listeners to concentrate on Jack's voice and just picture Jack.
Yes.
And just kind of like draw your own conclusions about Jack in this 30-second monologue about Jack's day. And then I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jack.
All right. So 30 seconds. I played golf for the first time in forever with my dad. I had my first ever legitimate bogey, which is a very sad statement. I played a lot of video games, ran it back with Lamar Jackson on Madden. That's always fun. He's still unbeatable. And yeah. I watched the Cubs and the Reds game simultaneously with a friend.
Okay, that was perfect, Jack. Now, what I need you to do is play about 10 seconds of that rejoin music. Could you do that, please? Let's not make this awkward. Turn it up a little bit. Okay. Now, people, you hear that beat. Now, I'm not going to make this awkward. I'm not going to make this a delegation thing or anything like that. But there's like a, I don't know if it's a running joke, but it's like when people see other people dance, it's like different groups of people hear different rhythms to a song, right?
Fair.
I looked up and Jack had them all. He was on perfect rhythm, and I didn't expect it, Steve.
Okay.
He caught the fast one.
Yeah.
Like he was bouncing to the fast.
Yeah.
It wasn't the slow boom, boom. It wasn't the bass he was riding.
Yeah, yeah,
he was
yeah.
riding the treble. And I looked and I was like, what? How about that?
How about Jack?
Right? Like the fact that stuck in my brain. I said, okay, Jack. Right?
My gosh.
I didn't want to call him out. And the reason I wanted him to talk is because I wanted people to make their own picture. That doesn't sound like a guy who's catching the fast beats.
Listen, listen. Jack is really, let me just say it, dude.
He's got a little Phil Baker in him.
No, listen. Literally, what? No, never mind. I was going to make a joke. I'm not going to make it.
We are both tribe members. I'll make the joke for you, Steve.
Listen, here's the thing, man. I'm going to say something that's an uncomfortable truth around the office that everybody knows, but they're not saying. Jack, if I'm a producer, I'm worried.
Be careful.
Jack's an up-and-coming star in the business, man. And I'm not a producer, so I'm not worried about Jack. But if I was a producer, I would be looking over my shoulder on a daily basis. Every mistake I made, every this or that I said on the air, every time I played something wrong, I would have something over my shoulder going, look, just a little Jack Grossman cutout, just staring at you.
Before we move along, did you ever feel like you had rhythm? Like
I did play trumpet in middle school. I know that doesn't help this at all.
That was the perfect sound yes. that we needed. I did play trumpet in middle school.
I just gave him a 20-minute or a 20-second just shout out. Yeah, hey, everybody be worried. That. Yep.
I think you're the first person to ever tell me I've had rhythm.
Like, my mom gave me a dollar and dropped me off at the parking ride.
Yeah, thanks.
Steve, I'm still just happy we didn't do the $100 bet with the Reds over the weekend.
Listen, no jokes about the Reds because they have an extremely important game today.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just – look, I am no trash talk today.
We are
look, I'm not mocking the Cubs. Right.
Because we're in a playoff spot last night.
Because mercenary Maben come in and – jumps on the Astros and the Yankees and the Cubs. And
it's
like,
not just coincidence. They all turn into winners when Cameron Maben gets there.
I know. Well, that's true.
Yeah, whatever. That's undeniable. Okay, so, Steve, we kind of did the offensive thing. We did the Mikael Cunningham thing. We kind of touched on the play-calling thing. The theme of today's show, by the way, 267-9680. Feel free to jump in on any part of this conversation. Text line, give it to me.
437-9680.
437-9680. Thank you so much. The YouTube channel is up and running, Made for the Ville. We're also on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle, Jack?
@ Jack Grossman 97.
Jack Grossman 97. Very easy to remember. Those are many platforms to reach out to us if you have any comments or want to add anything to the show content-wise. Reset on the defense, Steve. This has got to be the discussion for the 11 o'clock hour. Is the reset on the
discussion? No, Marcus. This is the discussion on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, until Saturday. The real discussion here is, honestly, the defense.
Time out. Let me tell you what I struggle with first.
Okay.
Because I got a feeling I can, you know, like rev you back and let you go on this one.
Okay.
But I have to tell you what I struggle with first and foremost. Okay. So I just finished the first hour telling you how I am a repetition guy. I am a stick to the simple execution guy. Until you can stick to the simple execution stuff, you can't try anything new. You can't graduate. You haven't earned the right to play man to man, you know, cover zero. You haven't earned any of that until you can just run a regular, keep it in front of you, cover four, to even, you know, like to even be on the field. That is what I was arguing for in the first hour. Now, in second hour, I think I'm not sure defense can be earned the same kind of way. I'm not sure I can participate in the simple things learned, because it's just like repetition doesn't really help defense the same way, because you're going to see something so different all the time. Like offense, there's some things that we can run. These six plays, we can run against anybody, and it's going to work if you execute them properly. Sometimes defense, there's so much movement. There's so many new things you're going to see. I kind of think it's hard to stick to the, hey, you have to be able to, you know, turn and get guys and stop them in front of you. It's like, no, you know, without the pressure, it's kind of like, I don't know if that will work long term, or that might cause your rebuild to be double the time. You know, if you're kind of like bullheaded on that kind of stance, that's what I'm feeling like. I'm not sure if I'm all the way in that boat, but I'm struggling with I'm struggling with that style.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. But here's the thing. I think that a lot for me. One thing I saw early that I like, because we talk about what we're angry about from the defense. One thing I did like was early, it seemed like, okay, they were going to go rush three, put drop four, you know, or well, drop eight total, but you know, drop four linebackers, kind of try to corral Derek King. I did like how they noticed that's not working. So you saw that change to five.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so and I know that they are comfortable making changes in the middle of a game. I know they're comfortable,
like roster wise or formations.
No. I mean, no. I'm talking more schematically here. I'm really right now. I guess I should have kind of started out with that, but I'm more talking coaching in general right now. And the first thing I saw was they are willing to say, okay, what we drew up is not working. Let's switch this up. Let's go to a five-man rush. Let's start getting pressure. And listen, while they were bad in the third quarter, I mean, the second quarter, they really kind of – they were getting it together. They were starting to put pressure on Derek King. They were starting to come up with stops. You know, so that takes me to the other side of this. The other side of this is I think you simply just have one or two guys – Now, I'm not saying that it's one or two guys messed up, and that's the whole problem with the defense. So don't take it that way. But I do think that to an extent, you have one or two personnel changes that need to happen. I think that will happen. I know the depth chart already has Chandler Jones starting at. And Jack, if you would for me, man, can you see who they have listed as the starting safeties in
safeties and corners?
Yeah, I know corners. Appreciate that, man. I know I was throwing it on you at the last second there, but the I know at corner they've moved Chandler Jones to starter, so that's taken Anthony Johnson out. So you have Chandler Jones and Keytrell Clark. So that's changes in personnel right there.
What's Anthony Johnson's biggest weakness in your opinion?
I'm allergic to nuts. So.
Anthony Johnson. He, correct me if I'm wrong, he gave up the last year Miami looked the wrong way over the shoulder touchdown.
No, that was Marlon Character.
Okay.
Yep, that was Marlon Character. Okay. Marlon Character doesn't start, though, anywhere. So yeah, I think with Anthony Johnson, I think it was just simply at times he found himself out of position, you know.
Mm-hmm. Bad angles.
Yeah, I mean, things like that. I mean, I know they had the one big catch over him on Saturday. I didn't think that was terrible defense. I thought that was a really good play. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there was a little bit of that. But now I'm interested to hear, because I forgot who they had starting at safety. I would be surprised if it's Hayes or Fagot if they don't have a very, very short leash.
All right, so for safety on the Louisville depth chart, there we go.
Okay,
free safety is Isaiah Hayes starting, Jack Fagot second, and then strong safety Russ East and Levy Jenkins. On the cornerback side, it's Cottrell Clark starting at cornerback one, Marlon Carriter backing him up, then cornerback two, Chandler Jones, backed up by Anthony Johnson.
Okay, so, I mean, that's going to be something to watch then, because if they have Hayes and Fagot still there, either A, they're saying we believe, and I mean, this is something I'm going to watch. This is what I'm going to be looking at Saturday.
Are your eyes going to go straight to that against Pittsburgh early in the game, in the early possessions?
Yeah, no, it is, because I think with them, I think you're going to say either A, we believe they just – misread the play. They're good players, but they just misread or something. Or you're going to say, B, they're all we got. And, you know, and that may be the case. Mm-hmm. It may be the case that it's, look, they're who we have. We're going to have to fix this with them. So instead of throwing them away on game three, we're going to try to fix it with them, you know? So, I mean, that's going to be something that I'm kind of watching. I still don't think I liked how much push they were getting up front, even with five. Mm-hmm. I don't know, again, if that's by design a little bit with Derek King.
As far as, containment of the quarterback.
Yeah, so we'll see that come Saturday, because there won't be as much of a running threat there. So I'm going to be watching for that.
Does that make you, running threat with lesser accuracy versus pocket passer with more accuracy, what scares you more in a matchup?
Well,
based off of last week, I'd say I'd be more scared of the running quarterback, because you saw Louisville.
But he didn't
run. But because Louisville put so much emphasis on keeping King from being able to run, that it opened up everything else. So I think Louisville, coming into the game, their whole game plan, their whole scheme was, we aren't going to let Derek King beat us running. I think you could see that by the way the defense would line up every play. Like, Louisville did not have their safeties lined up that deep. They had everyone within 6, 7, 8 yards of the line of scrimmage. They were so focused on King. I think that opened everything else up for Miami. I think against Pittsburgh this week, what will be very interesting to see is how the defense lines up, because I don't think they're going to be as compact. They're going to try to take away the space on the outside, take away the big play, to where you can focus on other things because the quarterback isn't going to beat you with his legs.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, again, you know, I was going to say, I think one of the problems is we haven't, it's tough to answer that question because I haven't watched somebody who really sits back and throws it down the field. So, I mean, I think Jack's answer is probably correct. Even though they did a pretty good job overall, I thought, of containing King outside of, he kind of course, his numbers are a little inflated because of the, you know, like the 2-yard dumps that went 80 yards.
Oh.
But, you know, I think that there was a little bit of that could be inflated. But I do think that one thing you're going to have to watch is, we haven't saw that. So the answer, to Jack's credit, the answer probably is running guy, but I haven't watched somebody that wants to sit there and throw it. We may watch that and go, oh, okay, Louisville's defense actually may be okay. Maybe they are a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? A little more prepared.
Competent.
Yeah, competent. Well, competent would be, I think competent would have been the word I would have used Saturday night when I was angry. but a little bit more of, maybe they are more prepared to, and again, I'm going straight to Notre Dame, so I'm not, you know, I'm doing this for a reason, but because I'm thinking, okay, their biggest games on their schedule. I'm saying maybe they are a little more built to beat a team like Notre Dame than a team like Miami or something. You know, as a fan, I'm saying, okay, maybe this is, or I may watch Pittsburgh, and what if he sits back there and throws for, you know, 402, and you win the game, say, even if you win the game or you lose a close game, and I go, okay, no, they're just simply not good in the secondary. I mean, there's nothing to say there. So it's a totally different style. We haven't saw Louisville play anything that's going to look like Pittsburgh on Saturday. So it's almost like it's hard to really project what we're going to see.
Give me a game from last year that you think might remind you of, or might give you some kind of idea, or the listener some kind of idea of what the Pittsburgh, are you thinking Boston College maybe? If you're looking for a team, or you know, is Pittsburgh closer to the Notre Dame style? If you had to choose, like to
pay. No, I think Pittsburgh. I think Boston College is a great example last year, especially after my guy transfer went to Oregon. He was out. Basically, we knocked the quarterback out early, and mm-hmm. his name, I just cannot remember his name for the life of me. But when their second guy came in, I think that's what you're looking a little bit more, because Pitt, you know, he's a little mobile back there, so it's not like it's a guy that can't move. But I do think that Boston College would be a solid answer there. Mm-hmm. You know, a team that's going to run the ball more, they're going to look for their tight ends a little more, which, again, the tight end up the middle is still looks like it's a major – maybe that's just the one not Achilles heel, but one – sorry,
constant
there's a baby in the background. I apologize for the baby. But, I mean, I think it's one of those that it's just a constant opening that you can pick on mm-hmm. if you're Louisville. So, Boston College is probably a good example, especially after the guy came in. Yeah. But I thought Louisville was okay against Boston College, right?
I'll ask you this before we hit the commercial break. There's the gaudy stat of the amount of yards that Pittsburgh has not given up over the course of two games. Now, of course, you can go Austin Peay, you know, super inflated defensive stats, but you know their Syracuse rush yards were very limited too. Does that apply to Louisville? Do you feel like that's something that applies as far as super tough defense, or just kind of the matchup of Syracuse or Austin Peay?
Well, I don't think Austin Peay is very good. I think we saw.
But the chant, "Let's go pee," it's so good.
I know. Oh, I know.
Be careful, y'all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Mark. That's Marcus's Sparks people. Real. I know. But here's the thing. I've watched Austin Peay. Well, I actually did watch Austin Peay against Central Arkansas in a game that was not very good. Pitt beat down Austin Peay, but then Cincinnati really put it on Austin Peay this week too. So, you know, that could be little bit.
Season's over now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's people like with Petrino. I heard them say like they play Oklahoma and then Central Arkansas twice, and that's it. They're scared. Their season's over.
Oh.
It's like, oh man.
So they're going 0-3.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Look, I'm a Petrino believer.
Listen, these games get canceled even with the Austin Peay. I wouldn't be surprised if they just say, "Hey, y'all, keep working, stay ready. If one of these games get canceled, can't be made up. Somebody."
Oh yeah, we're gonna need you.
Yep. Yeah.
Sure, I could totally see that. I mean, because there's going to be games that get canceled that you're gonna say, "Hey, man, we need to pluck somebody. We need Missouri State. We need Austin Peay." I think that could be the case. Now, here's the thing. The one thing macro, and I won't get too far into this because we still got 2 days left in the week, I do think that Louisville, Pitt is a great opportunity nationally for Louisville to kind of help themselves. Pitt being 21st in the country now, rankings I'm a little about right now because mm-hmm. with no Big Ten or, you know, well, Pac-12 really wouldn't matter, one spot or something.
Right.
But the Big Ten not being in there, you know, I'm not totally like, hey, you know, Pitt's the legit number 21 team in the country. Louisville's legit 24.
Big Ten comes back next week in the rankings, I think.
Yeah, right. So I mean, there's a chance you could win this game and not be ranked next week. I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, God knows, Kentucky's in the poll for the love of God. I mean, you know, it's like that's just stuff you're not used to seeing. So I think that but it's still for this week is a number. It is a top 25 matchup. It is a game in which at noon you're going to get an opportunity to go out there and possibly get a top 25 win at the end of the season. I mean, so I do think that at the end of the day, if you come out and it looks like things are fixed with Georgia Tech on the horizon, another game where I think you're better. I do like what Collins is doing down there, though, and mm-hmm. some of the personnel. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty good.
They're committed. Listen, they're running their six plays, and they look committed to their six plays right now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I think that that's one of those deals. But I'm looking at this going, man, this is a game where there is a nice an opportunity that I don't think we expected in week three. Maybe put it that way. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at the schedule coming out, an opportunity that I didn't realize would be there. A number 21 Pittsburgh mm-hmm. in their place. It can be a road top 25 win. I mean, you almost equate that to Wake Forest last year. Did I really believe Wake Forest was necessarily a top 20 team in the country? Maybe not, but it was still a top 20 win on the road.
I would argue this win, if Louisville can get it on Saturday, would be more impressive than the Wake Forest game because of that exact reason. I think there's more legitimacy, though, in Pittsburgh this season than there was in Wake Forest last season.
Sure, I agree with that 100%. I mean, I thought before the season, I was like, man, Pitt, that's going to be a tough game.
No,
I mean,
no. Here's the thing. You didn't say it publicly. Or you didn't commit to it publicly.
No, I did.
But no, what I'm saying is you and I both said if you beat Miami, you're going to go up there and get busted by Pitt because that's a good team. That's a decent little decent little team. Now we're hanging on for dear life by beating that decent little team.
I know. That decent little squad.
Tell your story, Steve, before you go to commercial break.
Oh, my God. It was the worst thing ever. So I run in. So Jack, yesterday I run into some Clemson fans, okay? So I'm talking, they got Clemson hat on and stuff, and I say, oh, Clemson. I was like, man, we take that butt kicking once a year, and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to hit me back with something very nice, about Louisville. And he's like, well, a lot of teams take butt kicking from us. I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, but, I mean, he hit me with the worst thing ever. He was like, well, but y'all got a nice little team down there in Louisville. It's like, yeah, thanks. It's like, just shut up.
That sounds like that's the experience that's of being an Indiana football fan, Steve.
That's just like a nice little team. Yeah, you're like,
but
I know.
But here's the problem. You go get wasted by Miami, and it's nice little team, but so what? You go waste Miami, and you hear, yeah, that coach doing some things up there. Like, even, it's still kind of a nice little team comment, but it's still you're on that radar. And that was kind of going to be the reset discussion. How are you going to reset nationally? How are you going to reset with the Louisville fan base, and how are you going to reset nationally? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coyle Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COYLE75. So visit COYLEDEALS.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COYLE75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coyle, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is normally the number. Why have y'all not corrected me? 867-9-2679-680.
You've been saying it correctly up to this point.
I've been giving.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been saying 267-9680.
I've been giving out the 93.9 number, though, in the openings. I'm supposed to change that up when I'm.
Well, I mean, look, they haven't officially moved us yet. So, I mean, we're still kind of a 93.9. I mean, so if you're listening to the podcast, later, and we got a lot of people. People know it's a. And we're on 93.9, too, I believe. So, I mean. Yeah,
okay,
so
fair enough. And we're all under one umbrella, which is ESPN Louisville. By the way, the NFL on ESPN Louisville, the NFL is back. and ESPN Louisville is once again your home for Super Bowl 55 and the exclusive home of the Baltimore Ravens and Indianapolis Colts Thursday. Dolphins and Jaguars, 8 p.m. on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Sunday, Texans and Steelers, 12 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Jets at Colts, 3 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Colts football on ESPN 680, 105.7 is presented by Caesars Southern Indiana, BJ Heating and Cooling, and Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville. Mention Coil 75 for $1,000 off a brand new Chevy. Packers and Saints, 7:30 on ESPN 680, 105.7. The NFL on ESPN Louisville is presented by Papa John's, Park Community Credit Union, and UPS Jobs. Also, Ravens football, your home for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Football is right here, ESPN Louisville, Monday night. Chiefs at Ravens, 7:45 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Lamar and the Ravens are presented by Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Body Armor Sports Drinks, only you can, available at Kroger. And Molly Malone St. Matthews, the official Lamar bar all season long.
And, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and while you're watching football, let me help you out how to add to a little bit of that action. Week two of football is in the books, and now is the time to review the tape and get ready for week three. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 3, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users a chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right. You can place a $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you can cash a cool Benjamin. How could you pass that up? Don't worry, if football isn't for you, DraftKings is giving all you MMA fans the same great offer to use for this weekend's UFC 253. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code WLCO, or I guess I could say WHBE on this station too, when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week three. Bet $1 on them, win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use our promo code WLCL during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Since today has been all about the reset, joining or going into commercial break, I threw a question out there. Again, 267-9680. Feel free to jump in if you'd like resets. We did a team reset. We did a Malik Cunningham offensive reset. We kind of talked about play calling resets on the defensive end, kind of player personnel switch ups. Now the selfish part. Now it's about us. And now it's about national perception. Is there a way to get a reset from this game, national perception-wise, a big reset, a small reset? Is there something that the fans can look forward to if they see in the Pittsburgh game that you feel like it would be a reset version of the team? Because a lot of times there's already a set-up narrative that every team we play is like, thank goodness Pittsburgh cracked the top 25, because had they not, there would have been no way to improve your status in the fan base, you know, psychologically through narrative or nationally. But because they do have that number in front of their name, there may be an increased ability to kind of reset what people think about this team locally and nationally. How would that be accomplished in a major way? And how would that be accomplished like in a, okay, we're fixed?
Well, I think also you got to ask yourself how important or what are you talking about when you're talking about national perception? Because, I mean, yeah, as far as is Louisville, you know, the Big Ten coming back, all that stuff, is Louisville in a dark horse playoff contender type conversation? You know, probably not. No. You know, and are they going to get back into that? Probably not, unless they run off, nothing, you know, they run off 9 more wins in a row and look impressive, then, you know, maybe get to the ACC title game, right, which I don't know that I would predict that. But, as far as Louisville is building on, and I'm just saying this to kind of get when people say national perception, what we're talking about, I think as far as is Louisville building on last year and not feeling like they just kind of, okay,
overachieved, caught everybody slipping.
Or even just about the same. You know, like, because, I mean, that's my goal with every year is be better than you were the year before, you know. So especially in a quote-unquote rebuild, you know, and I think that, you know, you want to do something this year that makes you feel, even if the win total is around the same, the win total can be the same, but I can have a win in South Bend and a win against Virginia Tech and a win, you know, or something. And
no,
go,
we
okay,
talked about that earlier. We talked about Miami. We do this deal with the devil every single beginning of the season. We trade in Miami wins for bad upsets, and we say, which is going to mean more to you? And you know me, I always go big name teams, put them on my wall of fame every single day over the, okay, we stunk that one up. Like, I can be snuck up on, you know, and kind of get Charlie Strong, for lack of a better word, you know, but I love getting those big name plaques on my wall.
Well, and I say it because here's the deal. I mean, I'm just doing hypotheticals here. Hypothetically, you could go in and beat Pitt and beat Georgia Tech and look like you're improving and be 3-1 going to South Bend. And here's another kicker. Miami beats up on Florida State and plays Clemson close the next week, or you know, beats Clemson. I don't think they're gonna beat Clemson, but I mean, like, but plays a good game where you're like, oh, Miami's legit. Well, there's a whole different vibe around Louisville at that point. If I'm 3-1, you know, Miami now is 3-1 or 4-0, and they've looked good against Clemson. Then I'm going, okay, man, shoot, we're going up to Notre Dame. Like, man, we're a good team. You know, we're in the top. I believe even with the Big Ten, we would probably be in the top 25 somewhere. You know, and the vibe could be different. Now, you could win those two games. You could beat Pitt, beat Georgia Tech, Miami get busted up by Florida State next week and Chubba Purdy, and then go in and look stupid against Clemson, and you're going, man, that was a terrible loss. And we looked kind of iffy against Pitt and Georgia Tech, you know, and now you're not feeling good. So many things can happen over the next 3 weeks. But I do think it – I mean, of course, though, it starts – with beating Pitt. And if you can, if you take care of that and you look like your defense has improved some, not just improved, like not just, hey, the offense or the defensive line played really well, but man, the, you know, Hayes and them a few places still looked crappy, but you won. It's like, I want to see improvement, because then I'm still going to go, well, I like the improvement I saw from the D line and the different stuff, but that's still an issue we have. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see those issues get better this week in particular. I'd like to see Malik get better at releasing the football, do a little bit, you know, do some of the stuff that we want to see, stuff that makes me – I'm not so much score hunting.
What would make you feel happier, pressure with four men down or excellent cornerback play?
Pressure. Yeah, I think for me, I mean, I'm not arguing that's the for sure right answer. But for me, pressure, because when I watch SEC football, like I said, real SEC football, not what Kentucky and Vanderbilt play. I'm talking SEC football in the trenches. I say, okay, D lines, they get, that's what they do. When you watch New Year's Six Bowls and when you watch you know what I'm saying, playoffs, D-lines can get four-man pressure. They can take guys and they can, you know, and they can, you don't have to dial anything up. My man can beat your man in the trenches, period.
So if you have a stud wide receiver, I can commit, you know, brackets and I can do other things if I can just put four out there.
And, sure.
And not be like totally at, you know.
You know, and a lot of times I say SEC football, I mean, but even Big Ten football, man, at the top, I mean, they always have great defensive lines. You know, I mean, that's where you're looking, Ohio State, you know, even your Wisconsin's and Iowa's and, you know, and Michigan State's and stuff. I mean, you're always looking at you know, first-round picks coming off that defensive line, first-round picks coming off the edge, second-round picks even, I mean, in the NFL.
A lot of times, it's ironic, a lot of times you end up getting overrated secondary players off those teams because their defensive lines are so good.
Eli Apple. Hello, Andy.
You put him in a square Big Ten overrated.
He was trash in the league. Yeah.
But, yeah, you do see that happen coming off of really good defensive lines.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, I said that, listen, since I like to mock Kentucky a little bit, I mean, I said 2 years ago, and, you know, I remember telling my father-in-law, I said, the most important guy on that team is Josh Allen, man. Mm-hmm. You've got a guy offensively and defensively. You've got a guy on that team that I believe was probably the best defensive player in the country that year.
You don't even remember how comfortable you were punting the ball if you were Kentucky when you knew you had Josh Allen
on
the defensive end.
Because that quarterback at all times is worried about Josh Allen. And Josh Allen was just – he was making plays constantly. Or if he wasn't making plays, he was getting hockey assist. Hockey – like you could,
teams, yeah.
You could accredit – you could well, in double teams, but you could also probably credit – you could what, let's say Kentucky had 15 interceptions that year. I'd give 6 of them to Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and say, well, no, you got those because of him. I mean, if you've got and for Louisville, I mean, for me, I just think if you can get pressure, it take. Listen, we don't. What's one thing we know we don't have in our secondary? We don't. We've said it yet. I think they're getting there. I think they've got a couple on the team. Greedy Vance, you know, Lovie Jenkins, guys that can play. I think Clark. I think Clark's even that way. But the thing is. If we don't have ball-hawking safeties, ball-hawking corners, guys that can just press up on you, man, we have to be able to get pressure up front to make them look better. If not,
right.
You're just
to get those overthrows, to get those tips, to get those loose,
yeah,
you know, loose passes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if you don't, then, I mean, it's that's going to be a not quite an Achilles heel, but it's going to be a major handicap that you have until you get one of the two. So,
yeah, I think I'd agree. If I got pressure from the front four, but here's the thing. There will still be one thing in the back of my mind that says quarterback sticks in a pocket, making him move a target is a little different from a guy who can kind of get out and make you have to play the entire field rather than, you know, break down the pocket or like you said, flush out with speed.
Well, that's why I'm not just crapping all over our D-line yet, because I'm saying Pigram and Derek King, I mean, of course, not the same level of player, but same style. Let's see what they do. Let's see what they do over the next couple weeks here.
That's going to do it, people. Again, this is a Wednesday. This is a Which Wednesday. I had a good time. Thank you, Jack Grossman, for filling in. Steve Rummage, so what are you going to do with your day in Tennessee today?
Man, I don't know.
Are
we
you
got
running
busy
out of gas already?
I'll be back. Look, we're coming back in the morning, so like we just got stuff to take care of, man. This is a little stuff, but yeah, no, today we may just just eat. I don't know. Eat.
Which is always fun.
And I'm always a fan of that.
Yeah, just eat. I don't really got anything. I don't know.
As always, 8150-939 is the number. 3831-939 is 9 times out of 10 the text line. The YouTube channel is normally made for the Ville. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. sharp. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.